Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for your living word. The word that is meant to unfold us as a new creation in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of your will, Father. You mean to unfold each one of us as a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You mean to transform us, you mean to change us, you mean to transfigure us in your light, in your life, Father. So release that light, O God, that comes to us through your word. As we continue to meditate on your word, Father, as we continue to unfold the processes of your salvation, Father, we are beginning to realize that salvation is an awesome process of change and transformation, Father. It's an awesome blessing. It is something, O God, that gives us purpose and destiny, Father, in all eternity. And we thank you, Lord, for having designed the salvation to be unfolded in each and every one of us, Father, with no holes barred, Father. Every one of us unfolded as a blessing in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Father. The unfolding of the fullness of Christ Jesus from our inward parts will be truly, O God, an awesome reality, Father, to be manifested in heavenly places as we unfold as the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, a chosen people, an anointed people, a people blessed by you, Father, a people blessed in the kind intentions of your will, a people alive to the counsels of your will, a people amongst whom, O God, the mystery of Christ will unveil, Father, and his glory will be seen by the Spirit through each and every one of us. And every knee will bow at the wonder of the Lord Jesus, unveiled in his body and through his body, Father. We want to bless you and thank you for making us members of the body of Christ. And as you continue to make us understand and know what a privileged position it is to be, O God, a member of the kingdom of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, a member of the body of Christ, Father, we want to bless you and thank you, Lord, for the revelations you're bringing forth in our lives. Let these revelations become, O Lord, part and parcel of our being and be expressed through our lives so that we will be the head and not the tail, Father. That we will be above and not beneath, Father. That we will be a blessing in our going out and our coming in, Father. That we will be a blessing in the city and in the country, Father. Wherever you take us, we alone will be above and not beneath, Father. We want to bless you and thank you for all that you are working into each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Today we want to do the meal offering, right? Leviticus chapter 3. So far we have done the sin offering, the guilt offering, the burnt offering. In the sin offering, we discovered that God has the intent of setting us free from unintentional sin, the sin that we all have by nature. In the guilt offering, we looked at the fact that God means to set us free from every form of deliberate sin. The sin that we have done, the sin that has crippled us, the sin that we sometimes do in spite of ourselves, right? The sin that manifests guilt that cripples the human race. So God, as part of his process of salvation, sets us free from guilt. And it's very important that we understand that it's very important to be set free from guilt, because if you're guilt, you are like a crippled person emotionally, in your personality, in your character, in your nature, in your thought processes, in everything that you do, you will be a cripple. So God means to set us free from that guilt. And so after the sin offering and the guilt offering, we came into the reality of the burnt offering. And the burnt offering is an offering of consecration, right? Being consecrated to the Lord. And what we looked at last week was the fact that being holy unto God is a reality you can only receive and realize in Christ Jesus. It cannot be done by procedures or religious forms. It involves the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so last week we saw that on the altar of the on the altar of the burnt offering, the brazen altar was called the altar of the burnt offering. The entire animal was put on the altar and fired, right? And we need to know and understand that that represents, right, the fact that consecration involves the total being. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that reality for each and every one of us. And the only way you and I can come to receive and realize the reality of being holy unto God is to receive of the fullness of Jesus Christ. If you don't, You can't achieve it. All you will manifest is your own righteousness. And the Bible categorically says in Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 that our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Right? So consecration involves the whole of everything in Jesus. Right? That's why Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy meaning that which will be fulfilled. It involves His spirit. Right? And His spirit is defined in His testimony. Right? It is defined in His testimony, and it is His spirit that becomes the blueprint for a new creation in each one of us. Right? So you remember Ephesians 2:10, that we are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. Right? Just listen to the Word of God. The Word of God is saying a lot of things that we have not said in the Christian church over its history. We need to hear what the Word of God is saying. We need to understand what it's saying. And we need to receive and realize what God is manifesting to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So the sin offering was the first offering that was manifested in the Jewish calendar. Every day, morning and evening, a sin offering would be offered that would be followed by a burnt offering. And that would be followed by a grain offering or a meal offering. Today we are going to look at the third compulsory daily offering. That's called the meal offering, right? And that's found in Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. So let's read from verse 1. Now, before we go into this, you need to understand that we are looking at these Levitical sacrifices from the context of Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn to that. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18. So here Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished." Until all is accomplished. So the law and the prophets are meant to be fulfilled. And they are meant to be accomplished, right? So if you go back to the Old Testament, during the time of Moses, you will find that the sacrifices were at the center of everything that the Jewish people did. It was the heart of their law. Their sacrifice has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now what does that mean to us today in the New Covenant? Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these sacrifices. What does that mean to us in the New Covenant? In the sin offering, we found that the sacrifice of Jesus brings into our life a new nature. And that new nature sets us free from our unintentional sins. The sins we commit by nature. The sins that are unique to each and every one of us. Right? Most of those sins, unintentional sin is sin you commit without knowing that you commit it. All right? It's there, it's part of you, right? But the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ brings into you a new nature, and that new nature, when built inside of you, sets you free from that unintentional sin. All right? Can you catch that? Right? How does God bring the nature of Jesus Christ into you? Through the Word of God. The Word of God that is explained to you in the testimony of Jesus. The Word that is opened to you in the testimony of Jesus. Right? The Word that is brought into you as Rhema. The Greek word is Rhema, the quickened word. The Word that is described in the Spirit and life of Jesus. John 6:63. Alright? Alright. In the guilt offering, God sets you free from deliberate sin. Right? A lot of our sin is deliberate. It is premeditated. God has an answer for deliberate sin. God has an answer for sin that has crippled us by making us guilty. Sin that has condemned us. Sin that Satan has used to tell us that you are not fit for the kingdom of God. You are not good enough for this and you are not good enough for that. The things that cripple every man, woman and child in the world. And God has the good news that in the nature and character of the Lord Jesus Christ, there comes a freedom. A freedom born of love. A freedom born of a perfect faith that comes from the heart of Jesus. A freedom that enables you to receive and realize a new form of life. The life of Jesus, described by that Greek word called Zoe. Right? Zoe life. The life that God gives. The life that God communicates through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we find that in the fulfillment of the law, you have freedom from guilt. In the fulfillment of the law, you are enabled to become holy unto God. And that's what the burnt offering represented, right? That there, it, as long as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a process that enables you to be perfect, even as He is perfect, right? Let's look at that. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. All right? 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And that's the key. That when you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, God has unveiled a supernatural process that will purify you even as He is pure. Praise the Lord. So you find that in the burnt offering, God symbolized that by putting the whole animal as a sacrifice on the altar. So the fullness of Jesus Christ is what we must focus on. The fullness of Jesus Christ has been given to us. You find that in John chapter 1, verse 16. For of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. I'm quoting from the New American Standard. All right? So you realize that if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding what He has done for you, what God has made available to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as you have your hope on Him, there is a process that God has instituted in grace that enables you to be purified even as He is pure. Why does that happen? Because faith is the substance of hope, right? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of hope. So if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the substance of your faith will be of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you receive of the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the evidence that is realized within you will be of Him. And everything that is of Jesus will be pure and holy. So what is God doing with all of us? He's bringing us into the reality of realizing the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that fullness of Jesus Christ is the key to receiving and realizing change in your life. You will be enabled to do all those things that you find impossible to do. It's based on receiving. What you receive, you practice, and you will realize the change. It's a simple process. Grace upon grace. Of His fullness we have all received. All received. Grace upon grace. Not merit upon merit. Right? So we have to leave the system of the world that rewards meritocracy and enter the reality of grace that is based on the ability to receive from God. If you can understand that everything in your Christian life is based on your ability to receive from God, everything is possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. But if Christ does not strengthen me, I can do nothing. I will keep on doing the things that I have done forever. Right? And all of those things have been upside down. Right? Seems to work for a while. And then 10 years later, you find it just disappears. Why? Because there's no real substance to it. So if the substance of something is manifested from the Lord Jesus Christ, it will remain forever. Because everything of the substance of His fullness is indestructible. Right? So why is consecration so important? Why is the burnt offering the central offering in everything that the Jews did? morning and evening, the burnt offering was conducted. The altar was called the altar of the burnt offering. Why? Because everything was centered on consecration. What does consecration mean? It means receiving the fullness of Jesus Christ that will enable you to be holy unto God. Right? So now you can understand what God is doing through Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:48. You are to be holy, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now how are you going to do that? Jesus said that as a commandment. But once you understand the burnt offering, you realize that becoming perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect is just a natural process that unfolds in your salvation. You don't have to stand on your head and balance on one finger. You just have to learn how to receive. And if you find it hard to receive those things that God is telling you, then ask God to enable that receiving. Alright? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. So how does Christ strengthen you? Christ strengthens you with His fullness. He strengthens you through His Spirit. And if you can understand that simple reality, all things are possible in the Scriptures. All things that are written in the Scriptures that are so mind-boggling to us, so sometimes so impossible to us, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. Therefore, the Church of Jesus Christ has all the potentials to be everything God wants it to be, because it has already been provided. God is by name the provider. Therefore, God is by name the provider, and therefore He must provide for everything that we receive. Praise the Lord. And salvation is the process, the heart of the process by which God provides. Which is why when He announced the name Yahweh Yireh in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14, He announced it against the background of a sacrifice. Correct? Abraham brought Isaac to be sacrificed, and the angel of the Lord stopped him and provided him with a ram. And after doing that sacrifice, Abraham declares the name Yahweh Yireh. I am who I am. I am your provider. In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. New American Standard. If you have a New King James Bible, it says, in the mount of the Lord, it will be seen. Praise the Lord. So, this mount of the Lord is opened as a reality from your inward parts. Alright? So we will do that later. Okay? So today we want to do the next compulsory offering that was done every morning and evening, the grain offering, alright? The grain offering. And the grain offering is about what happens as a result of the other three offerings. The sin offering, as the sin offering is fulfilled in your life, as the guilt offering is fulfilled in your life, as the burnt offering is fulfilled in your life, the result must be manifested in what is called the meal offering. And the meal offering fundamentally represents how we live. Right? And let's just look at the symbolisms here. Leviticus chapter 2. So we are looking at Leviticus chapter 2 on the basis that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law and the prophets. We are not looking at it from the context of the law. We are looking at it in the context of Jesus having fulfilled the law. Alright? Alright, let's look at verse 1. Now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Alright? Now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. Alright. The first thing that is manifested in the grain offering is fine flour. Fine flour is flour that is ground. And you will find that as God deals with you, He will grind you as fine flour. That's part of salvation. God has to grind us into fine flour. What do you use fine flour for? To make some good bread. Right? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So the realization of Jesus Christ in your life must make you good bread in turn, right? That's why in the holy place of the tabernacle of Moses, they had a table of showbread, sometimes called the bread of the presence. And there were 12 loaves of bread. 12 is the number of the church. 12 also represents the Jewish tribes. There were 12 pieces of bread. All right? So what does that really show you figuratively? That the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is meant to be realized in each one of us becoming, right, in His image and in His fullness, right, having the bread of the presence alive within us. All right? So you need to understand that the purpose of that was so that we will manifest the reality of who the Lord Jesus Christ is from our lives. So you find that oil was added to the flour and frankincense. What does oil represent? Oil represents the anointing. So what is the anointing that Jesus gives us? His Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of counsel. And all that is added to the fine flour. God is not just grinding you to fine flour meaninglessly, right? He puts the oil into it, right? He puts the oil into it so that there will be something definitive manifested in your life, right? And all of those things that God is going to manifest into the fine flour are going to make you and me, right, a people who are enabled to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Christ means Mashiach, the anointed one, right? And the anointed one is manifest to us His Spirit. That's where the anointing is, in His Spirit. The anointing is not just something that we use for our own whims and fancies. The anointing is personified in Christ. It is His Spirit. Are you with me? Why must it be His Spirit? If it's not His Spirit, it's going to manifest in the wrong spirit. Right? And Lucifer was someone who learned how to function before God with the wrong spirit. Right? So you find that he was called the anointed cherub. God blessed him with every blessing. And he turned it all into a curse. Quite a feat, actually. Right, to turn every blessing into a curse. He must be an amazingly stupid creature to do that. Right? But that's what he did. So when God saves us, he gives us the right spirit. And the right spirit is defined in the Christ, the Messiah. It has to be his spirit. We can't just do our own thing. We cannot just operate gifts as we want to operate them. You have to operate it in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, you're going to end up functioning in the wrong spirit. So it's very important that we understand that the oil represents what he consecrated through his sacrifice. So Jesus came to establish the right spirit. So the final thing he did as he died on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why? Because his spirit was the blueprint for a new race of man. Very important that you understand that. So fine flour has applied on it oil. And then comes frankincense. What does frankincense represent? Frankincense represents the fragrance of Jesus alive in your heart, alive in your life. Right? Where do we find the cross reference for that? The cross reference for that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Alright? So what does the fragrance represent? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ that you have realized in your life while you were being ground into flour. Right? As the flour is ground, there is a knowledge of Jesus Christ that is manifested in your life. Right? God doesn't make you go through difficulties for the fun of it. Right? He wants you to go through those difficulties and discover Jesus. Because if you discover Jesus in that difficulty, you will come out of that difficulty strengthened. And you will have a knowledge and an intimacy of the Master through that experience. And all of us are going through this thing, right? Through our lives. Sometimes it comes through family problems, sometimes it comes through ministry problems, sometimes it comes through work problems, sometimes it even comes through marriage problems. Difficult children, difficult husbands, difficult wives, difficult family members. And in all of that, God grinds us, right? He allows those things to happen. Sometimes we go through what the Bible calls a day of evil, where Satan seems to have full flow over our lives and we are like tossed here and there. And through it all, God is telling you, why don't you look at me? Why don't you anchor yourself in me and see that eventually that day of evil will pass and you will come out of it. And if you have focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will come out of it much stronger than you were before it. And all these are lessons in life that we go through. Lessons in life that we go through, right? So in all that is happening in the preparation of this meal offering, God is already telling you that He perfects us through the lives that we live. He perfects us in the situations and circumstances that are peculiar to each and every one of us, right? And in that process, He's building something inside of you. He's building a reality in Christ Jesus within you. Now there is meaning to what He's doing, because what He's going to do through that is to then make you an expression of what is called the meal offering or the grain offering. We'll come to that. Let's go to the next verse. Alright, so we have introduced the basis on which this meal offering is going to be built. Alright, it is built on the basis of fine flour. It is built on the oil of the anointing. It is built in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, so you must understand something that God is transmitting here very, very vividly. That it is not, you cannot live a Christian life by application of mere principles. You have to learn how to live your Christian life in the name of Jesus, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the fragrance must be of Him. If the fragrance is just a principle, it means nothing. Because in the first place, you cannot observe that principle. Why do I say that? Because every principle in the Bible is beyond our ability to walk into it. Hello. Because the principle is simply the law restated. And nobody could observe the law. So don't think that, you know, I'm going to do the right thing is going to work. It's not going to work. It may work for 2 months. It may work for 2 years. One day you get angry and lo and behold, all your so-called righteousness just evaporates in one burst of anger. Have you noticed that? And then you go before God and you say, oh my goodness, what did I just say? What did I just do? It's very simple. Anything you build on yourself, it's going to crumble. That's the lessons of life. Right? Look at those who are 30 years older than you. Study their lives and you will find that to be true. So everything has to be built in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not built in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to be abiding. It's going to be transitory. What is transitory? That which is real, that is there within the dimensions of space and time. It is there. Maybe it's there for 20 years. Maybe it's there for 50 years. But it's not going to be abiding. It's transitory. One day it will pass away. And when it passes away, brethren, there will be nothing left. There are so many things that I have strived for in my life that no longer exist. They're no longer relevant. Accolades that I have won, that have all passed by. But everything you build in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is built inside of you. How is it built inside of you? It's built into your soul. It's built into your spirit. It's built into your character. It's built into your nature. It cannot pass away. It becomes part and parcel of your being. So that's the difference between building something in God and building something in the systems of the world. Amen. So you need to understand, you can do a lot of things in God. In fact, you can do all things in God. And the difference is that although the physical things may not stand the test of time, what is built inside of you will stand the test of time. They will continue to be inside of you. So if God builds you as a leader of men, that quality to lead is built inside of you in the spirit and life of Jesus. That cannot pass away. Alright, so that's what the meal offering is designed to do. In the meal offering, God is talking about building each and every one of us. Alright, verse 2. He shall then bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, and shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil with all of its frankincense, and the priest shall offer it up in smoke as its memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And the remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire. Basically, what was brought to the priest was divided into two parts. One half was put on the altar and fired. The other half was distributed amongst the priesthood. God is vividly showing you the two dimensions in which everything we do stands. There is an outward form, and there's an inward form. The inward form is what is fired on the altar, because your heart is an altar unto God. So what is fired on the inside is the intentions, the desires, the why you do something. What is the basis on which you do anything? And that stands before God. Now, we can appear to be very humble and be very proudful on the insides. We can do a lot of things that appear to be good, but have the wrong intentions of doing it. Right? There are religious people who can put on a front of being very humble, but inside of them there is a controlling spirit. The reason why they humble themselves is to hold you in the power of their humility. That's called a religious spirit. Right? So you find that the outward form was shared amongst the priesthood. Now in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, we are a priesthood of believers. And we are charged with building the body of Christ. But as we build the body of Christ inside of us, our agendas stand. Why are you doing it? For whom are you doing it? For whose glory are you doing it? With what purpose are you doing it? So the meal offering shows, right, why and what for and for what purpose we are doing anything and everything. Right? Let's first look at building the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12. 11, 12 and 13. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of service. What work of service? To the building of the body of Christ. So we are all called for the work of service to the building of the body of Christ. So the meal offering was shared amongst the priesthood. The body of Christ is a priesthood. Why? Because each one of us is a temple of God. Each one of us is a tabernacle of God. Within this tabernacle, you operate a priesthood. Who else operates in a temple except a priest? So each one of us in the New Testament is called a tabernacle or a temple of the living God, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And within that, we operate our priesthood. Right? And we are supposed to operate our priesthood before God And also in building the body of Christ as a body of believers. Right? So you find that the meal offering is being manifested from each and every one of us. We are on an outward plane doing things to build the body of Christ. And we are on the inside standing in a witness before God. And God judges what we do. Are you with me? So you find that in the meal offering, God is vividly transmitting the fact that all of us must be involved in the building of the body of Christ. If you are a father or a mother, you must understand that the basic building block of the Christian church is the family. How you bring up your kids. What do you instill inside of them? What are the value systems? What is the focus of their lives? Is it merely to get a job and get a profession? Or are you telling them that they are that all that is just a means to build the body of Christ? All right? So you find that in building up your family, that process by which you do it is part and parcel of your meal offering before God. Right? Now we can build a family just for our own selfish purposes, or we can build a family for the glory of God. Right? Are you with me? Now you can earn money in your job just for your own selfish purposes, or you can earn money in order to build the body of Christ. You can have wealth, you can hold positions, you can hold positions of authority and use all those for yourself and just for your own family, for your own selfish purposes, or you can use your talents to bless the body of Christ. The choice is yours. But whatever you choose, it is an expression of the meal offering. So you need to understand, as you receive and realize the reality of who Jesus is inside of you, you will change. So your meal offering will keep changing as you grow in the Lord. The intents of your heart will start being clarified in Christ Jesus, becoming more clear, more focused, right? And the reasons why you do what you do will all change as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, you cannot practice the meal offering in the flesh by trying to put on religious principles. That's not what God is looking for. God is looking for the knowledge of His Son unveiled from your heart. He's looking for the fragrance of His Son from your heart. That is what is acceptable to God. He's not telling you to do something that you cannot do. He's telling you that as you grow in the Son, as you grow in Him, as His fullness begins to unveil inside of you, as you receive of Him, your grain offering will become more and more purified. Your grain offering will rise to a higher and higher spiritual plane. Praise the Lord. You will be enabled to do what you would otherwise be unable to do. You will be enabled to do what you would otherwise be unable to do. So the key to the grain offering or the meal offering is to understand that everything comes through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do nothing without Christ. You cannot manifest this grain offering without Christ, because the fragrance is the knowledge of Him. If you manifest some other kind of fragrance, that's not going to be a soothing aroma to the Lord. Right? Right? So whether you are a pastor, whether you are, right, an evangelist, whether you are a businessman, right? Only you know what you are manifesting before God. Everything that you do on the outside, how you treat your wife, how you treat your staff, everything on that you do on the outside has an inward reality that stands before God. And you don't want the inward reality to stink like a skunk. A Christian skunk. And there are lots of Christian skunks around. Christians who will cheat you without batting an eyelid. Right? Met some of them? Lots of them around. Right? So you need to understand, right, that God is monitoring your life. And the meal offering is where God measures who Jesus really means to you. Right? And it's based on what you're doing every day. Right? It's based on how you talk to your kids. It's based on how you talk to your spouse. It's based on how you talk to your subordinates, how you relate to your superiors, and everything. Everything that we do every day, 24 hours of the day, what we carry with us when we sleep, what we have inside of us in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. And the solution to get all those things right is to receive of the fullness of Jesus Christ. To receive of His Word. Amen. So you need to see that this grain offering was considered to be a thing most holy. Verse 3, of the offerings of the Lord, of the offerings to the Lord by fire. You need to understand that God is saying something here that is very important. The grain offering was fired from the altar. Fire represents the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The grain offering can only be manifested the right way by the Holy Spirit. You can only realize of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Jesus put it across this way. Let's turn to John chapter 16. Right? I know you have heard this many times, but you never should get tired of reading the scriptures over and over again. John chapter 16, verse 13, 14, and 15. And when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. It is the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all the truth. All the truth that unfolds in Jesus Christ. Verse 14, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, He shall glorify Me. That's the first thing you need to understand. Right? Because when the Jews offered their Levitical sacrifice, it was how they worshipped God. Right? It was how they worshipped God. So you need to understand that your heart must glorify God. How do you glorify God? Your heart can only glorify God by manifesting the fragrance of Jesus Christ, because no other fragrance will God receive except the fragrance of His Son. You can try as hard as you want, you can work as hard as you want, you can sacrifice as hard as you want. If it is not manifested in the name of Jesus, it will not be acceptable to God. Are you listening? Hello? Under the law, people did their best, right? And the best was never enough, right? Go back and read the Old Testament. The best was never enough. Moses lost his temper with God, right? And he was prevented from going into the promised land, right? David loved God, tried to do his best. He committed adultery and murder, right? Never made the grade. John the Baptist, called the greatest among the sons of men. He was in jail and he asked Jesus through messengers, are you really the Christ? Tell me. What happened? His faith had reached its plane. He was afraid. He was alone. He was in jail. And his righteousness failed him. Are you with me? So all these people unveiled under the law. They were good guys, right? They were good guys, right? But their goodness was always flawed. Elijah got frightened, right? And he ran away, correct? Don't we get frightened? Right? So God in the New Testament opens a different realm, a realm called grace. And grace is personified in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. That's why when in the fulfillment of the law, God demands the fragrance of Jesus Christ, because He wants to see you manifest the fact that you have received it by grace. He wants you to tell Him from the innermost parts of your heart, this is by Jesus. And therefore it can come before you. It may not be perfectly Jesus, but it's definitely of something of Him. It is of some measure of Him that I am able to unveil from my life. And the Father says, you're welcome. Can you catch it? Amen. Praise the Lord. So remember this. Everything has to be done in the name of Jesus, right? So the Holy Spirit, He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. So God ultimately wants you to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Christ means Messiah. Right? Messiah is a person. He's not merely an anointing. He is a person. Right? And God wants you to manifest. Right? The key is this. Right? In verse 15, he says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. If we are going to unveil all that God has for the creation, we are the chosen people through which it's going to be manifested. And that's why you need to understand, if we don't learn how to do things in Christ Jesus, all that God has cannot be manifested. You and I are chosen to be sons of God, both male and female. What's the position of the sons of God? To manifest the glory of God. To be instruments through whom the glory of God will be made manifest. Are you with me? The Bible says that one day we will stand even higher than the angels. On whose name? On the name of Jesus. Correct? So, it is absolutely imperative that we build the church in the name of Jesus and not be super holy superstars. Are you with me? There is only one superstar. And he is the bright and morning star. Don't worry about it. When God unveils you as a morning star, you will shine with the glory of the Master. Right? But the meal offering is about how we manifest the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we have to learn that step by step. It doesn't come to us naturally, guys. It doesn't come naturally to any of us. But we have to learn how to march to a different beat. We have to learn how to live a different style. That's why the Holy Spirit has been sent to indwell us. So that we will learn how to live by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Because the fragrance of Christ Jesus can only be unveiled through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be manifested by the flesh of man. Right? Praise the Lord. Why are we saying that? Right? It's so important to understand this in the right way. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul talks here about something called the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 3. He says here that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. Now what is the mystery? The next verse defines the mystery. He says the mystery of Christ. In verse 4 he mentions the mystery of Christ. Alright? So the mystery that has been given for the church to unveil, to reveal. Verse 8. He then talks about the unfathomable riches of Christ in verse 8. So this mystery contains the unfathomable riches of Christ. Mashiach, Messiah. The unfathomable riches of Christ. Now, we just read a verse that says that all that the Father has been invested in this person who is called the Messiah. And so Paul is writing here, the unfathomable riches of Christ. And the unfathomable riches of Christ is a mystery. It has to be brought out by revelation. It has to be brought out by being developed in each one of us and manifested through all of us. Catch it? All right. So in verse 9 he says this. In verse 9 he says, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. You see, the mystery must be administered. What does it mean to be administered? The mystery has to be brought out in fully functional terms. We have to bring to light this awesome wonder of the mystery of Christ. We must become administrators of that mystery. Catch it? We are called, we are charged with becoming functioners of that mystery revealed through each one of us. That's why the Bible says, of his fullness we have all received. In Romans it is said, you are in his image. Correct? Why? So that he can be manifested through each one of us. You see, in each one of our lives, Jesus is being revealed in a very unique way. None of us sees Jesus the same way. Because we have all been changed from different situations and circumstances. We have a different, we have a unique intimacy with Him. The reality of Him as He is unveiled in our lives will be something unique to each one of us. Amen? But there is an awesome cosmic purpose in all of this, right? So let's look at this, right? And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. Who are the rulers and authorities in heavenly places? The angels. Both the fallen angels and the angels who stand before God. There is a mystery to be unveiled. The glory of the risen Christ. Amen? That's why we must learn to do everything through Christ who strengthens us. So that what is manifested in our words, what is manifested in our actions, what is manifested in our relationships, what is manifested in our thoughts, what is manifested in our character, what is manifested in our thinking is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you and I can rise to positions where the Bible says we will bless nations. Hello. The capacity to bless nations comes entirely from Jesus Christ. Amen. So He is the treasure that God has given us. So in the meal offering, it's very clear that the fragrance must be of the knowledge of Him. Amen. And so while we are small, we must learn how to do things the right way. Right? Because if you look at church history, you will find that we have done a lot of things that have got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We have used His name liberally. But so much of what we have done has got nothing to do with Him. It doesn't express Him. In fact, it has been a total misrepresentation of all that He represented. We fought crusades. How do you stand with the crusades and the Sermon on the Mount? We thought that if we held political power, we will bring the kingdom of God on earth. That's not what God wants. That's why the Jews killed Him. Why? Because He refused to take political power. Right? They wanted a champion. They wanted a Messiah to lead them against the Romans. And He said, no, that is not my purpose. That's probably one of the reasons why Judas Iscariot betrayed Him. Right? Because He did not appear to be what they thought He should be. So when Pilate asked Him, are you a king? But He said, my kingdom is not of this world. How come we have not listened to all those things? And we are still trying to establish politically through maneuverings and the kingdom of God. It's got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. When Daniel saw the vision of the kingdom of God being manifested, it was manifested without human hands. Right? Go back and read it. Daniel chapter 2. Something like verse 47, 48, 49, somewhere around there. Right? So we need to understand this. The fragrance must be of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you're doing a small thing, do it in the name of Jesus. That's what God is going to reward. Remember the woman who gave 2 mites? What do you do with 2 mites, by the way? Others bought bags of gold. Jesus was not impressed with the bags of gold. But He was interested in what was in the woman's heart. Yeah, so we must capture that, right? What the woman carried in her heart was the fragrance of who God was to her. She had learned how to live by God. And so when she gave her 2 mites as all that she had, she knew that God will provide. And Jesus honored that reality, right? Because that was what was most important. We don't measure things in the church by how big they are. We measure things by how much of Jesus is manifested. So don't measure churches by the number of people who go there. Measure them by how much of Jesus is manifested. Hello? Because in the final analysis, God is only interested in what stands in the name of Jesus. Everything else will pass away. Why do I say that? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 before we end. All right? What is the church? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And He, the Father, put all things in subjection under His feet, Jesus' feet, and gave Him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church. All things to the church. That's the part we love, that God has given all things to the church. But what is the church? Verse 23, which is His body. So what does it mean to be His body? The next part says, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the fullness of Him who must fill all in all. That's the task that is given to us. To manifest the fullness of Him that must fill all in all. Praise the Lord. That's what we are doing in this program. That's why everything is centered on Jesus Christ. Because we have to unveil Him. We've tried our best for too long. 2,000 years we've been having our great ideas. It's time to put them all where they belong, in the rubbish bin. Right? And start unveiling things in Christ Jesus. Right? Hello, how many times do we have to do the same silly things? How many times do we have to see pastors fall before we understand that there's fundamentally something wrong in the Christian church? And what is fundamentally wrong in the Christian church is that we are doing everything with our own intelligence. And God does not need your brains, He doesn't need my brains either. He wants to see Jesus being manifested. He wants us to be doing the things that we do in the name of the Lord, so that the fragrance of Jesus Christ will come forth. Praise the Lord. That's what salvation is meant to bring forth in our life. You see, if when you study the Jewish feast, you realize that the whole program is built on a sacrifice. If you look at the Jewish calendar, which was in 50-year cycles, everything in that calendar was characterized by what? Sacrifice, guys. What is God telling you? Why was the calendar there? The calendar represented a spiritual progression, which the Jews never realized. Right? A spiritual progression. And what is that? The center of that spiritual progression? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What have we seen in the charismatic move? Superstar pastors stand on pulpits, do miracles, and then 3 years later you find that they have stolen money, you have found that they have done this, they have done that. What went wrong? Was there something wrong with the move of the Holy Spirit? Nothing was wrong with what the Holy Spirit did. What was wrong was that we functioned in the Holy Spirit in our own desires and our own intentions. And it has been shown time and time and time again that when we do that, we fall. And all of us will fall unless we build things in the name of Jesus, unless we operate in the Spirit of God by the name of Jesus. Hello, otherwise you can't tell the difference between whether you have gone into the wrong spirit or the right spirit. You just can't tell the difference. Because just as you can have good thoughts and wrong thoughts, and sometimes not be able to tell whether you have the right thoughts or the wrong thoughts, in the same way you can go into the right spirit and the wrong spirit at the speed of thought, guys. Right? That's why it is so important that we build everything in the name of Jesus, because He is the truth. Heard that one? I am the truth. Right? But so often we just teach the principle as the truth. The principle is not the truth. He is the truth. The principle has to be revealed in His character, in His nature, in His fullness. Otherwise the principle will just be a manifestation of our righteousness, which is filthy rags. Yes, you can practice the principle. At what point can you practice it? Only where you understand it, only up to what you can do. only what up to what your faith can carry you. What happens beyond that? The Bible says that David was a man after the heart of God. Yes, he was. But he did not stop him from committing adultery and murder. Why? Because there was a limitation to what he could do. Right? He could fall victim into temptation. So what do we need to be able to overcome the temptations that we see around the world? The nature and character of Jesus Christ. The nature of Jesus will never steal, guys. The nature of Jesus will never commit adultery. The faith of Jesus will never waver. Can you catch that? That's what God wants to build us. Of His fullness we have all received. Hear the word of the Lord. You only have to receive it. Grace upon grace. All things are possible. But if we keep on practicing Christianity in our own strength, we'll be making the mistakes we've been making for 2,000 years. So the meal offering is about bringing out Jesus in your life. We'll continue with this thought process next week. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you that there is a process that by which we can measure what we are doing in our lives. It's an important process, Father. It's a process by which we evaluate what we are doing. What are the reasons for which we are doing anything and everything, Lord? What is the basis on which we are husband and wife? On what basis are we children? On what basis are we brothers and sisters? On what basis are we the Church of Jesus Christ? On what basis are we doing ministry? On what basis do we work? On what basis do we do anything and everything? And when we look at those things, we know, Lord, there are many things that are not right with us. But you are telling us that all things can be changed through Christ who strengthens us. You are telling us that nothing is impossible in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have told us that, O God, in the rich young man who came to see the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And when he walked away dejectedly, Father, his apostles turned to Jesus and asked him, O Lord, if this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who can enter in? And Lord Jesus, you told them, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So enable us to hear that salvation is about what God does. Salvation is about what we receive from you, Father. Salvation is about what you have given us and provided for us in Christ Jesus. Let that revelation be released into the body of Christ, Lord, that no longer we will try to be Christians in our own merits, Lord, trying to our best. Time has already shown us, Lord, our best is woefully short, Father, of your demands, Lord. So we need to rise, and we can only rise through what you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So unveil that realm of the word that is in accordance with who you are and all that you are. Release the revelation of the word, Father, in the spirit and life of Jesus. Release the revelation of the word in the faith and love of Jesus. Release the revelation of the word in the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his thinking, Father. So let us receive of him and let us be transformed. Bless the church, Lord. Bless the church across the world and in the heavenly places. Unveil us as your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Enable us to hear. Enable us to stop trying so hard, Father. And learn how to rest in you, Father. Because everything that we receive from you is received ultimately when we come to rest in you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.